Welcome to Manners and Madness, a Jane Austen and David Lynch podcast. My name is Maya Adkins.
And I'm Christian Cabrera. And today we are doing our Christmas end of 2023 episode.
Yeah, this is our goodbye 2023 episode.
Yes. And honestly, it's not been a terrible year, but parts of it definitely is a good riddance vibe.
Yeah, it's been, for me, a little bit of a stressful year, but like also some highlights, but also like just psychologically a draining year.
Yes, definitely.
Emotionally.
Yes. 2024 needs to be a year of worldwide healing. Please. Yes,
please. For goodness sakes. That would be nice.
please. But
you might have actually been able. Yeah, this is a great time of year. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, people might have noticed that this was a little bit more difficult year because we spent a lot of it not doing doing whatever we wanted that was not Jane Austen and David Lynch, just because we needed a little bit of a break.
Yeah. And I mean, frankly, you know how we are. We always find the thread back to them.
Yeah, I was looking over what we had done and there was a lot of them that I was like, well, you know, tangentially, it does kind of relate to this or that.
Right. Well, you know, we're always like, you know, we're those types of scholars, quote unquote, where we're like, well, there's this one aspect of this one scene had to have influenced by this.
I am having a glass of wine, a celebratory glass of wine. Christian did not join me in drinking.
I just never have any alcohol in my house. I'm such a social drinker that I always forget about alcohol at home. And to me, there's also like this ritual of like ordering a cocktail or a glass of wine that is so much fun to me. So I always forget to have any alcohol at home. But in spirit, I am drinking.
I always have wine at home. Well, I don't drink.
If I were to have one alcohol at home, it would be wine. Because I would probably drink that more than anything else at home. But, you know, where do I put it?
I feel like part of the reason I always have it is because I just never drink it. Like, I just don't drink that often. So when there's like a random occasion, I'm like, oh, well, let me have a drink for the final episode.
And that's a, you know, a bottle of wine is a great gift to bring to someone's house for anything.
Yeah. Not that it's a final episode. It's just the final episode of the year. And then we're taking a slight break. We're going to be gone definitely through the first week in November, which is, I guess, 2 weeks. But there's a possibility that it might be more towards the end of January. Maybe we'll do a couple replay episodes.
Yeah.
We might come straight back. It just depends. The next thing we're doing is kind of a book, so we kind of got to, like, read it.
Do some actual work beforehand. So. But we'll be back eventually. You know, it's always an adjustment getting into the new year. And I'm planning on going to New York, which is my favorite place in the entire world, in January. So, like, you know, with every vacation that I have upcoming, I'm like, I kind of only can devote about 95% of my brain to it. And the 5% can be everything else.
Oh, yes, yes. I feel like at the end of the year, one of my favorite feelings and most interesting feelings, I feel like it happens all the time, is you're like all in celebratory happy mode, but you're like planning for what you want the next year's focus to be. And so you're kind of like excited about that prospect coming up, but you're like, but I don't want to implement it yet because we're still in celebration mode. And I got too much other stuff on my mind because of Christmas and holidays and all that stuff. So, but like the anticipation of, ooh, in the new year, I'm going to be much more focused on this or this or this. And it's just like a nice anticipation feeling that I like.
Yes, I agree. I love to make plans and I don't normally always follow through on them, but who knows? Who knows? 2024 might be the year that it actually works out more than it has in the past, as far as any sort of resolutions or...
Oh, yes.
Any sort of plans at all.
Well, the older I get, the more tempered my resolutions, quote unquote, are. Mm-hmm. And so more realistic, I even feel like some of, I usually tend to, as soon as I come up with them, start implementing them in like December.
Uh-huh.
So I've been doing a lot of working out.
Yeah. Yeah. I've kind of, as I've, especially if I've, as I've gotten older, I've definitely like the very, you know, stereotypical, like, I'm going to lose weight and I'm going to do this, that, this and that. Like A, B, and C of the most like stereotypical resolutions. I've kind of abandoned those. And through therapy have definitely been like, let me do realistic things that are actually within the possibility of me doing them. But, and that makes it more exciting because then it's like, it feels much easier to achieve, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. And I think I never like make a list and check it at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure that last year I did a lot of the things that I was planning on doing. I don't know that they all led to where I was hoping they would lead to, but I still,
you did,
you know, accomplished what I was setting out to accomplish.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's another thing is like not setting an expectation for the outcome. That's something I've learned is like do what you want, your like whatever you set out to do, but kind of let the resolution kind of come as it is.
Yes.
And, you know, you got to go from there, I guess.
Yeah. Well, one thing that we have resolved to do for the past 2 months was to wrap up our thoughts on Pride and Prejudice and Twin Peaks or A Fire Walk With Me, which we never really properly did because I kept saying, we're going to have guests and we're going to do a final episode. And I just, at the end of the year, was like, I can't schedule a guest. I can't have to edit, you know, another hard episode because the more people are on it, the harder it is to edit. Mm-hmm. And I just had to admit defeat and say, we're just going to have a fun, leisurely episode. We're just going to talk about all the stuff that we meant to talk about throughout the year. And, you know, cheers for Christmas.
Exactly. Let's, we're going to contour the episodes to the bandwidth that we have.
And at the end of the year, it's pretty small.
Exactly. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Well, should we start with some Pride and Prejudice?
You know? Yes. Let's do it.
Well, what did you think of reading Pride and Prejudice, our fourth Jane Austen novel?
Well, it's kind of wild to think that it's our fourth.
I know.
I was thinking in my head, like, oh, we have so many more to read. Like, are we halfway through? And we're definitely halfway through.
More than
the books. Yeah. But I was excited to read this one, especially for a long time, just because I feel like Pride and Prejudice is such a required reading in high school for a lot of people. But because of the program I was in, it was a lot more based on like international authors. And right. So I didn't get to like international as in like non-English, like more like Asian authors Eastern authors. And
that's interesting.
Yeah. And there were definitely some interesting books, but I feel like of my friends that weren't in the program who got to read like the, you know, the ones that everyone else gets to read, I just didn't get that experience. And so every time a Pride and Prejudice reference was made, I never would get it. And so I was really excited and I loved it. I was like, it lives up to the hype.
Yeah. I was really impressed too, because I mean, of course I've read it before a bajillion times, but I, you know, most of the time I do listen to the book as opposed to read, like, and even when you're listening to a book, I feel like it's the same thing as reading, but you're not, even when you're just reading, you're not usually reading it like as closely as we are for the podcast. So, You know, it's really fun to like really read every line and, you know, find all the funny little nuances. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was just really impressed. And I was like, this is the number one book for a reason, because It's really good.
Exactly. And like, it's considered a classic for a reason, because it's one of those stories that is like almost magical in the way it like really speaks to the time period that it took place in, but it almost transcends time in a way.
Yeah.
Because of the themes. And it's just, you know, I mean, how many adaptations have come out? And reading the book, I was still like, oh my god, like, what's gonna happen between Darcy and Elizabeth and,
<I know.
laughs> and Jane and Bingley? Like, it just has such a way of building anticipation for the things that you know are gonna come, but you almost feel in a way like, what if this one time is different? What if everything else has been wrong?
Was there anything that surprised you when you were reading it?
I think what's kind of surprised me was, I feel like I looked at Mr. Bennet in a different way than I have in the adaptations. And I think mainly that's because, like, the actors did such a great job of making him more of a fatherly kind of, like, warm figure in the adaptations. And I just don't think he's as warm in the book. If that makes sense. Like, I feel like I noticed a lot more of his faults than what was portrayed in the adaptation. So that was a little surprising, because I do like Mr. Bennet, and I still like Mr. Bennet, but I feel like my eyes were open just a little bit more.
Yeah. I would say I was a little surprised by how hard in the end I turned towards Darcy. Like, he was, like, kind of, you know, really rubbing me the wrong way for a lot of the book, but then, like, he really turns it and you're like, I forgive you all your faults.
He's really good at that.
And I was also shocked about Elizabeth after she has her realization that she never really comes to, like, a median point. Like, she goes from being like, you're the worst, Mr. Darcy, too. Oh, my God, everyone around me is the worst. But then she never really has a, like, well, I guess no one is the worst. You know, it's just like, we never kind of go back and revisit our feelings about the rest of the family. But
And in a way, especially, like, right now, hearing you describe her that way, it's like, it almost, in a way, before she has that realization that no one is completely terrible, that she is so similar to Lydia, kind of, where they both operate in extremes throughout the book. Just Lydia is just so much more outspoken about her thoughts, and Elizabeth is so much more inward. But they're both, I feel like, in a way, so similar for a while, and then Lizzie grows up.
Also, Jane is the best. She's just such a good person.
I
didn't know I would love her so much.
There were plenty of things that were reaffirmed in the book for me, that Jade is the best. Bingley is a golden retriever.
Collins is the worst.
Collins is the worst. He's worse in the book than he is in the adaptations, in my opinion.
I mean, Wickham is also bad, but Collins is just so, like, in your face with his obnoxiousness and his horribleness. Where Wickham is always trying to put on an act.
And I would say, reading in the book, Elizabeth's sort of defiance against Lady Catherine de Bourgh was a lot more gratifying than it is in the adaptations. Like, I feel like it was funnier, and just, you kind of, like, get more of the nuance of how she's just like, who cares about what this lady thinks? I really enjoyed that.
I really, really liked it. I mean, right now, it's at the top of my list. I still, I think Northanger Abbey might have moved into the second spot. And maybe in the future, when I have a little more distance, they'll kind of, you know, duke it out for number one. But, like, if I reread Northanger Abbey right now, would it become my favorite again? That's very possible. But, which is crazy, because Sense and Sensibility was my favorite for a really long time. And reading that one, I don't know, I just kind of made it a little less my favorite, even though I really did enjoy it. There was just a lot to it that I was surprised bothered me, you know?
Well, I have this, like, running theory that the books are, they kind of, like, speak to different portions of people's lives. And, like, clearly Northanger Abbey is, I feel like it would be such a great book for, like, teenagers and young adults to read. And then you kind of work your way through different novels based on them, like Emma and whatever. But I feel like that's kind of speaks to how they keep changing which one is your favorite, because, like, you're reading them at different points in your life. And so, you know, you kind of are not in the Sense and Sensibility portion of your life. You're in the Pride and Prejudice / Northanger Abbey portion. So
maybe that's true. And, you know, who's to say? Because, you know, no ranking that I ever would make would ever last for more than a day.
Exactly. It's like, ask me to borrow and
yeah.
The list could be totally different.
And then of course there's Persuasion, which is like its own beast, which is great as well. But
yes,
it's for like a different mood altogether.
Yeah. I would say right now, Pride and Prejudice is my number one. And then, oh gosh, I think Persuasion might be my number two. And then
I can see that.
Northanger Abbey, and then Sense and Sensibility. But I don't know what, I have this feeling that Emma is going to just really grab me because the adaptations have been so good and I really just love the character. So I'm like, that one might end up being my number one overall, but we'll see when we get to it.
Well, we've definitely got some more adaptations to watch of that one before we get to it.
Right. And I mean, the newest Emma adaptation, I think, has probably been one of my favorites, if not my favorite adaptation done. Mm. It's just so stylized, and I think Anya Taylor-Joy did a great job.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, and we're getting, Emma will probably be one of the last things we do.
Right. Because it's this book, right?
Yep. So who from Pride and Prejudice should we sort? I guess Elizabeth and Darcy?
I think we should definitely start with them.
Okay. Well, I feel like we already almost have sorted Elizabeth because we determined while we're reading it that she's definitely a fireside. And I think we kind of came to the conclusion that she's probably an Aries out of the three. Although any one of them, there could be an argument for.
Yes, but I
think you could probably do an argument for an air sign too.
I was thinking that. I was like, she does kind of give the vibe of being in her head a lot, but I feel like she's definitely got more of that passion and that fire to her. So I like the fire sign, and Aries just, I feel like my scales are leaning more towards Aries just because she definitely seems to be more like, I always think of the scene of her walk into the Bingleys.
Yes, because I mean, to get a little bit deeper into astrology, like Leo is ruled by the sun, Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter, and Aries is ruled by Mars, and Mars definitely feels like more of an Elizabeth, like I'm walking to another field type of a thing.
Yes, I agree.
So, yeah, I think Aries. Should we look up an Aries description just to
provide an extra? Out? Sure.
What kind of person is Aries? Aries is a passionate, motivated, and confident leader who builds community with their cheerful disposition and relentless determination. Uncomplicated and direct in their approach, they often get frustrated by exhaustive details and unnecessary nuances.
I feel like her father has definitely got some Aries in there.
Yeah. I feel like he's a Taurus or something as well because he just like wants to hang out at home and never leave. Yep.
Kind of do his own thing.
Let's do... Oh, I just had a thought of what Darcy could be. What if he is a Scorpio, which is like the Mars ruled water sign?
Oh, I do like that because I feel like he loves to put on this facade that he is non-emotional, but he is. Like a lot of his decisions are very emotional, I feel like, when he's like truly acting upon himself. And I love that. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Scorpios are mysterious because they are profound thinkers, secretive, passionate, and constantly a step away from the public. Scorpios' quiet matches with the lethal scorpion, which symbolize their sign. I don't know what that means, but that sounds right. Let's look up Scorpio and Aries. Let's see if there's a...
any sort of compatibility.
It says Aries and Scorpio share let me look up a more Western one just for Aries and Scorpio have strong connection due to their intense personalities and determination. When they come together, their relationship is electrifying and magnetic. Both signs come together to form the power couple they are. Well, ooh, that sounds perfect.
Yeah.
I think we did that one with relative ease.
Well, I mean, we just have so much material to work off of for them.
Yeah. Should we do anybody else?
Did we already do Jane and Bingley?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Harder to me.
Oh.
But
we could do...
They could be Sagittarius, maybe. I feel like they could be the same sign.
They are kind of.
Jane could be kind of part Virgo just because she's so like contained and quiet, but mm-hmm. Virgo has a mean streak. That's why it's hard for me to figure them out because I always am thinking of like both the positive and negative aspects of a sign, and they just have so few negative aspects, although Bingley has a little bit more.
Yeah.
He might be like a Gemini, but I feel like there's several Geminis in this book. Wickham, maybe.
Well.
Lydia, maybe. Maybe a Leo, too. Who knows?
Well, yeah. I would say Wickham is definitely like almost like comically textbook Gemini in a way. But yeah, Lydia, oof, no thank you.
It's so hard because she's so young, you know?
Right. She still has so much more to develop into mentally.
She could be a Sagittarius too. Imagine if Jane and Lydia were both Sagittarius.
I feel like,
but like the completely opposite versions,
the two most extremes. Yeah. Of the Sagittarius.
Here, let me look up Sagittarius real quick just to see if we're anywhere close to being on the right track. Sometimes I totally trust my astrology knowledge and sometimes I'm like, nope, I need someone else to verify what I'm saying. Well, maybe Jane is not a Sagittarius. What are they? I feel like Bingley could definitely be a Sagittarius.
Why do you say that?
Well, let's see. They are typically outspoken, optimistic extroverts who elicit respect and affection from everyone they come into contact with. Sagittarius natives are loyal, smart, assertive, and compassionate personalities. They are one of a kind, talented, and have impeccable discernment. But they also can be very impatient and need instant results.
Mm.
They may boast of great things, however, fail to follow up on them in time. So that definitely sounds like Bingley.
Yeah. definitely Bingley.
I would say Lydia, I mean, she's definitely egocentric, which is a Leo thing. But yeah. She's so much more impulsive, I feel like, than a Leo.
Yeah, she's not planning things and then following them. She's just reacting to everything.
She definitely has a lot more going on than just one thing.
Oh yeah, her chart is
some Gemini, she's got some Leo.
It's definitely gonna make some like pro astrologists Aries.
Well, considering we're saying that her and Elizabeth are alike, maybe she does have some Aries.
That's true.
All right,
a lot to deal with.
How else do we sort people? Because we haven't done it in so long, I've totally forgotten.
I think we were doing the D&D, like the chaotic good, chaotic neutral, okay, that kind of thing.
Well, let's just do Elizabeth and Darcy for that one. I would say that they're both, well, no, they're not both the same.
I would say
Elizabeth, yeah, you go ahead.
Well, for Elizabeth, I would say definitely she's such a neutral.
She's neutral good.
Or neutral good. Well, well, you don't think that, like, if Jane was in trouble that she wouldn't, you know, break a couple laws, break a couple rules?
Well, maybe, but she wants everything to be above board, it seems.
That's true. Okay, yeah, neutral
and
good.
Overall, I would say good.
Yeah. I was thinking of neutral, whatever the second one is. Is it neutral? I don't know.
Yeah, well, she's maybe less lawful than chaotic.
Yes, but I was conflating them both together.
But so, maybe a little bit more. I would say Darcy is definitely lawful good.
Yes. The most lawful.
And Wickham is chaotic bad.
Yes, he is.
Or evil.
Chaotic evil. Definitely. Lydia is chaotic.
Chaos.
Just can we do double chaos?
Chaotic neutral?
I guess. Yeah, that's what I would think. Cause,
well, or is bad just, or evil.
That's what I have a hard time with, like, the good, neutral, evil. I know. Because
it would help if I haven't ever played D&D and not just watched on TV.
Well, I do even less. I don't even watch it. But I always get caught up because I'm like, are they, like, is it based on the goodness of, like, their intentions or their spirit, quote unquote? Or is it more about, like, are they willing to do, quote unquote, like, what things that would be considered bad for the greater good or something? Is there even a thing though? Who, I don't know.
I would put a call out for D&D experts to tell us what we're getting wrong about this, but then I'm afraid I would start harassing you to let me play with you. So, so you might want to keep your distance.
Yeah, more than likely I'm just overanalyzing it, but yeah, I think we'll just go off of like the intentions. And I think Lydia has good intentions. She's not trying to be an evil person.
Yeah, I agree. So
chaotic good.
If anything, I would say maybe neutral, but maybe more towards good.
Yeah, she's in that little in between.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's save the Twin Peaks Pride and Prejudice comparisons until after we talk about Fire Walk With Me. Okay. Then we can do like a combo of everybody.
Sure.
Well, what do you think of Fire Walk With Me?
I was kind of surprised by it in a way because I didn't really know what I expected, because in a way it was so different from the Twin Peaks show.
Uh-huh.
And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very like, the tone is very like kind of scary, which I really enjoyed. And mm-hmm. I loved learning more about Laura, because I feel like we, you know, the story is almost in a way about Laura, but the show is also kind of has like hardly any Laura in it. So I was really excited to get to see her more on screen. And
yeah,
she's just so good. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I think it's definitely essential Twin Peaks viewing, in my opinion.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Like I said, when we were doing it, I'm pretty sure a lot of the lore of Twin Peaks is established through that movie, which is kind of crazy, but yeah. It's definitely different. I feel like the original series is like a scary sitcom soap opera. And Fire Walk With Me is like a psychological thriller drama.
Definitely like very tense.
Surreal.
Yeah. And I feel like it was very illuminating for maybe some of the questions we had about Twin Peaks, the series. But, you know, I really liked getting to see more of the underbelly of Twin Peaks. I feel like we got to see a lot of the darker side of it because we were with Laura.
Yeah.
And I feel like it also really changed my perspective on Bobby with the help of the diary. But I feel like it really did. It really gave a lot more, what's the word? Not credit, but like allowance for me.
Yes.
For Bobby.
Yeah. 100% agree. And I really enjoyed watching it again after having read the diary because they really speak to each other.
Yeah. Like
they're really connected, which, having never read the diary previous to doing this podcast, I really kind of wish I had, but a lot of that is actually in Fire Walk With Me.
Yeah. It's read. And I would say like the diary is such a great companion piece because the diary does, I mean, there are things you learn about Laura and Donna that you're like, it does shift your perspective a little bit. And so I feel like all of these things are so interconnected that to get a true sense of Twin Peaks as a whole, you kind of have to do everything, which I love.
Oh, for sure.
I love like universes, quote unquote, that are like that, where you're like, you're going to have to consume everything just to understand it, or partially understand it.
To even begin to understand it.
Exactly. And I love that. I want to learn everything.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't know that there is any true understanding, no matter how many people profess to know every detail and everything that's happening, but like that's the whole fun of it. I mean, I think that's why Twin Peaks has such a great just like online community of people who are like still obsessed with it, still want to know, still have crazy Facebook groups that are just ongoing. It's just it's just got a lot there and it doesn't have any real answers, so that's the fun of it. It's just coming up with your own ideas.
I love like, what would you say, like pieces of media or, you know, movies, books, whatever, that kind of leave, they don't give you a direct answer, it's a little bit ambiguous, and I think it kind of goes beyond like, oh, it's letting you form your own opinion. It's like, I feel like with a lot of parts of Twin Peaks, I just don't I'm not mentally equipped to understand because I don't know everything that happens. So it's like there are things that really like really kind of keep bringing you back with the mystery of it all.
Yeah.
And I mean, and it really creates an environment of like, I want more Twin Peaks, I want to have more adventures, I want to know more about this other places, I guess you should say.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'm just excited to get to season 3.
We got a season three in the first place.
Exactly. And,
And
you
that
know,
is like a whole another
yes.
crazy
I've
thing,
seen,
which
yeah.
I'm excited when we finally get back into that because I feel like I've only scratched the surface of that,
Oh,
honestly.
yeah. I mean, you've only watched it once, right? Once through?
Well, I watched
Or
it when it
twice?
came out, but I watched every episode several times, but I haven't rewatched it all as a whole since
Okay.
then. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, based on the one quick little part of a scene I saw, it definitely is going to be a lot more chaotic and
Yeah.
heady and in a good way. And I love stuff like that. I love very avant-garde, you
Yes.
know, this is so above me. I don't have to like try and analyze it. I can just kind of enjoy it and then let the realizations come to me at a later point.
Yeah. Well, and the nice thing is for that, there's so much in between Fire Walk With Me and the third season, and there's a lot of stuff that David Lynch came out with that I think will inform how season three goes, and we're gonna really be concentrating on that next year.
Good.
Most of it, I mean, there might be a few things that we'll s I'm not exactly sure how we're gonna do it because so far we've always done a Twin Peaks something with one of the Jane Austen books, but I'm just not sure if we'll want to have start season three by the time, like, sometime next year, or we'll want to wait a little bit. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, like we said, depends on
Yeah.
the
Now, I don't really feel like we need to sort anybody from Twin Peaks because I
No.
feel like we've sorted everyone from
Yes.
Twin Peaks.
Yeah, I think we had, well, we just had so much time to
We
sort
did
everyone.
Laura during the diary and Donna. Well, no,
Yes.
and Maddie. I'm sure we did Donna at some point.
We would have to. Yeah, I mean, we spent, I think with the luxury of Twin Peaks is that there's just so much material and there's so much time that we can spend with those characters rather than like a book from Jane Austen perspective. So, yeah, I think we definitely covered a lot of ground with the
Yeah. Well, let's do a mental game where we cast the characters of Twin Peaks into the novel of Pride and Prejudice.
Well, I think Laura is definitely Elizabeth. I feel
I
like.
don't know if I agree with that.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, maybe if we're just doing Fire Walk With Me, but I don't find I mean, Laura is definitely also fiery, but I don't know. I just don't find her to be very Elizabethy.
Elizabethan. well, do you have an idea of who you would cast for Elizabeth?
I do have an idea that I feel like, even though I was thinking of the whole series Twin Peaks, not just Fire Walk With Me, but
Okay.
I was thinking Audrey.
I mean, I do like that a lot. I love Audrey. And
Because she's kind of got the same like distance. You know, Elizabeth has a little bit of a distance, but she's also charming, and I feel like Audrey is very
Yes.
charming and
And I feel like, yeah, you're kind of opening my eyes a little bit to that. Like, I feel
she's also
like,
kind of insecure in the same way a little bit.
yeah, and I'm thinking about the ways that Elizabeth is combative against like the forces around her, and Audrey is very similar. And I feel like Laura is maybe a little too combative towards everything. She's a little bit
Yeah.
like too quick to push everything away, while Audrey is like a little bit like Elizabeth in the sense she's like, I want to kind of explore, I want to learn what this is, and then if I don't like it, it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like, okay, you've changed my mind.
I almost feel, well, God, I don't even know that no, not Elizabeth, that Laura has a true counterpart in any Jane Austen, but I would
A little
say in
difficult.
Pride and Prejudice, she feels more like a Lydia. Kind of a little out of control and, you know.
Yeah, following her own path without any sort of consideration of the consequences.
Yeah. Maybe no.
Now.
I was thinking of other books and I was like, maybe Isabella Thorpe, but I don't even Isabella Thorpe was also kind of young, but
Yeah. I think, you know, honestly, you know, much to my dismay, I think Elizabeth is kind of a Lydia when we're talking about Pride and Prejudice. And, and, but my question now is, does that make Donna Kitty? Because I feel like they have somewhat similar characters. Like, Donna always felt like she was overlooked and kind of second fiddle to Laura.
She's kind of a cross almost between Kitty and Mary. Yes. Like, because in the series, you know, she's all detective and mm-hmm. she definitely comes from a family that does a lot of piano practicing.
Is it? Yeah, it was. I was about to say, is it bad that I'm like picturing piano? I'm like just the piano. Yeah, I agree. I like that. Now, for Darcy, I was picturing James. Because they're both brooding. They're both like kind of, in a way, they are mysterious. Like, we don't really know that much about James.
It's so hard for me to think of James.
I know.
I know. Attractive.
In his personality. Yes. I agree. But think about how hard it
was. But he is like brooding and all the girls, you know, think he's hot. And
exactly. And think about how you felt about Darcy at the beginning of Pride and Prejudice. You're like, God, he's the worst, and he's so annoying. And
well, James was the opposite. Like, he was much more likable until the end when he was, like, being ridiculous.
So dramatic.
But, you know, Pamela always says that Albert is, no, Darcy.
That is but, true.
And I mean, I think it's a good comparison for sure, because they both have that like prickly outer shell, but they're mm-hmm. both like, you know, have hearts of gold on the inside.
Yes, I love that.
So I can definitely see that. Although I kind of feel like Cooper, but I guess he's not really the best.
Cooper to comparison. Me is more of a Bingley. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Outwardly, like very much an outward heart of gold kind of person. Very easy to get along with people. I would say, in a way, you could say that, like, how Bingley is very easily sort of coerced by Darcy, that Cooper is very easily coerced by, like, the FBI and by Harry, and a little bit, in a way.
Or by just life's great mysteries.
Exactly. His curiosity of the world.
Yeah. What about Harry? Does he have a place in Pride and Prejudice?
Oh, gosh. I mean, yes, but it's very hard to pick him out.
Well, okay, this is what I was thinking. Because if Albert is Darcy.
Yes.
And Cooper is Bingley. If Harry was Fitzwilliam, you know, the other guardian. Because you know how Harry and Albert kind of clash heads?
Yes.
But they end up having like a really good relationship. I feel like Fitzwilliam and Darcy, they're the most relationship for the men, at least, that are like, I feel like you guys have known each other for a really long time and you can take the piss out of each other, you know?
Yes. Yes.
So maybe them. Is there a Jane at all in Twin Peaks? I feel like it's so anti-Twin Peaks, the character.
To be Jane. In a way it is, but I mean, there's got to be someone if you think really hard about it. Like, I almost want to be like Lucy, because Lucy is the most like pure-hearted of the Twin Peaks people. Yeah,
that's a good one.
And she's just, you know, she's all about, you know, true love and being nice and, I don't know, goodness in a way.
Yeah, because I want to say like Donna's mom, Eileen, but like she also had an affair, so it doesn't seem very Jane-like. Yeah.
She's got a little bit of a sordid past that we don't really know too much about.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit like, I don't know, but I like Lucy. I think Lucy is a good fit. As best as Twin Peaks can offer up, I would say.
Yeah. I like Pete as Mr. Bennett, of course.
Of course.
The twinkle in his eye.
Of course. The most perfect father figure that ever existed.
Mrs. Bennett maybe could be Sarah, Laura's mom.
Or I was thinking Nadine.
Oh.
Which I'm like, can we somehow...
They both have the same kind of energy.
Yeah, just really chaotic. But like in a good, like with the intention of goodness.
Yeah.
So I mean, is there a universe where within the Twin Peaks universe they do a Pride and Prejudice stage play where Nadine plays Mrs. Bennett? I would like to see that.
You know who's going to play Mr. Collins? Dick Tremaine.
Yes. The most perfect casting.
What other characters?
Well, does that make Catherine Lady Catherine de Bourgh?
Oh, of course. Definitely.
Of course. 100%. That's perfect casting.
What about... Okay, there's a couple more characters. There's Charlotte Lucas. There's... Oh, there was somebody else. Oh, the gardeners. Cool aunt and uncle.
Oh, yes. That's who I was kind of in my head trying to figure out. And we technically don't have a Wickham yet.
Oh. Ooh. Like a Hank? Hank could be Wickham.
Yeah. Or our... Oh my God, I'm so bad with names.
Or Josie.
Josie, in a way, I mean, you know, pretending to be something to get in, but...
Norma. Norma could be Jane.
Oh, duh.
I didn't even think of Norma.
Oh my gosh, how could we forget Norma?
I was trying to think what Shelley could be, but yeah. Like, she's also kind of a hard one. She could be a Charlotte, but she's a little less practical than all that.
Yeah. She's like not settling. She's more so trapped.
Yeah. But well, I mean,
in a way.
Well, she went to her entrapment with both eyes open. I mean, I guess they both have a lot of similarities in certain ways.
Definitely. Never mind. I was like, is she a Caroline Bingley? But she's not as like conniving and calculated. Shelley's a hard
one. I
don't
feel like there is a Caroline. I mean, I'm sure there is, but like, I'm trying to think like, we're going to have to start doubling up. Like, Catherine's going to have to be Caroline and Lady Catherine.
Oh, well, I was also thinking Shelley would also probably not make a bad Elizabeth.
That's true.
So she could definitely be doubled up there. Oh, I feel like Doc Hayward is a great gardener.
Like I was going to say he could be Mr. Gardner for sure.
Yes.
But I don't know. Maybe the log lady could be Mrs. Gardner.
Yes. I mean, she is kind of the guiding force that you do want.
Yeah. or Norma, she could also be Mrs. Gardner.
Yes. I think also Big Ed would make a good Mr. Gardner.
Oh, yeah. Norma and Big Ed. Mm-hmm. They would be a cool aunt and uncle.
Please. They're cool.
Is that everybody?
I think so. Well, technically, we don't have a Hawk.
Well, I mean, not everyone's going to be in the cast. Somebody's going to have to understudy.
That's true. Someone's got to, yeah, you're right.
Maybe he can be the director.
I like that. I like that.
I mean, he could be.
He's just like, you know.
There's just not as many men.
Yeah, definitely. He, in a way, is also kind of a Mr. Gardner type.
I was just about to say, he could be a Mr. Gardner as well.
Yeah. He's kind of like a weird character where he kind of has Mr. Gardner, but also sort of Mr. Bennett qualities to him in a little, like just a few from each. So, but I like him better as Mr. Gardner.
Yeah, I can definitely see him being obsessed with fishing.
Yes.
But we know Pete is obsessed with fishing, but we already made him Mr. Bennett. So I think we're good. Let's just call it where it lies. And if you disagree, let us know your cast list.
Yeah, I would say send in your cast list because, you know, you could just like Maya opened my eyes to Audrey as Elizabeth. You could totally change our minds.
Well, let's do our quiz because we're getting near the end. I thought we might do a little bit more, but
we just got caught up in the topics.
So much ideas.
So our quiz for today is the most appropriate quiz for this podcast. Plan a holiday party and we'll tell you what seasonal dessert you truly embody.
Truly.
I'm interested to see if I get the one that I think I will get.
I've been decorating for Christmas, so I guess that's kind of like planning a holiday party.
Yeah, I love a holiday party. Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. First of all, where are you having this party? At a restaurant? At home? In an old barn? Or at the park?
At home, because I've been decorating this house.
Exactly. I'm going to pick at home, too, because duh. Where else am I going to have it? How many people are you inviting? 5 to 10? 15 to 20, 30 to 45, or 50 to 60?
5 to 10.
This is going to be shocking for me, but I feel like I love a big holiday party. So I'm going to say...
You should add it in a barn.
Well, in my vision, I'm having it in like a Lifetime big house.
Okay.
So I'm going to do 30 to 45. All right. What drinks are you going to serve your guests? Hot chocolate, champagne, water. Get your own drinks. I'm trying to have fun too, which is rude.
Why is mulled wine or mulled cider not on here?
I know. I was shocked.
I made wassail for Thanksgiving. I think it was wassail. It was like a spiced cranberry juice. It was so
ooh,
good.
I love it.
But I guess I'll do champagne.
You know, I love a hot chocolate. Hot chocolate's one of my favorite things in the world. So I'm going to do that. All right. What are you going to do? Watch a Christmas movie, hand out gifts, play a game, or just talk?
I like to just talk.
Yeah. I mean, hello. But I'm going to throw in playing a game because I do love
it. Yeah, that would
little,
be fun too.
A little game action. And then what are you going to eat for dinner? A full turkey dinner, mac and cheese, pizza, or leftovers? I'm not serving my guests
serving
leftovers.
Leftovers at a party. Are you out of your mind? I mean, a full turkey dinner, I guess. Why is it mac and cheese included in that? I don't know.
Yeah, I will just eat mac and cheese, but I'm going to do pizza.
Okay. We'll do a full turkey dinner. It's a holiday party.
Yeah, hello. Especially like with the guest list that you have. It's perfect. What music are you listening to? Christmas music, pop, rock, or classical? Christmas music?
Christmas music.
Duh.
Obviously. We're going to have the same cookie.
I know. I know. And finally, what party favors are you going to give out? Candy canes, shot glasses, leftovers, or party favors, question mark? I mean, I'm going to do candy canes.
I had to go back and redo the whole quiz. Hold on. What party favors are you handing out?
I don't like mine.
What did you say? What did you
party
say
favors?
Doing?
I'm doing candy
I'm
canes.
I'm going to do leftovers since I'm doing a full turkey dinner.
I was about to say, yours is like perfectly set up for leftovers.
Ew, I don't like mine either.
Oh, God. What'd you get?
Fruitcake?
That's what I got. I don't care for fruitcake personally.
No. Okay. One of my favorite book series is The Number One Ladies Detective Agency. And mm-hmm. Mara Motsepe loves fruitcake. She eats it all the time. And it makes me think maybe I'm missing something about fruitcake.
But... Well, I think a lot of like definitely store-bought fruitcakes are just very cardboardy and they don't have a lot of flavor to them. I would be willing to try a homemade fruitcake that is, you know, got all the good stuff in it. So. But
no, I do like fruit and I like cake. So exactly. A combo of the two is perfectly fine. Let's see. Let me read it. You're a fruitcake. Full of color and life. You're always up to party. You're a great advice giver and always there for a friend in need.
Well,
I
do
like this.
Like...
We both.
I like the description, I guess.
Yeah. And to be fair, we both probably would plan the exact same party. We would probably plan a party together. So
exactly. And cook the full turkey dinner together. So.
And I would make green cake with fruit on top.
I do love green cake.
I'm going to make green cake for Christmas. Ooh, green cake with strawberries. It would be... very Christmassy looking. Or maybe with cranberries.
With a nice white buttercream or cream cheese frosting.
No, red buttercream or cream cheese frosting.
Well, if you're putting cranberries in it or whatever.
Oh, that's true. Oh, I guess that's
you need
true.
The white.
White is a Christmas color. That's true. I don't really like red food coloring. I think it tastes weird.
Yeah, it definitely, yeah. But I did recently hear, we can end with this, Christmas. Can you hear that behind me? The girls are...
No, I can't hear it.
Okay.
I heard Mabel snoring in the last episode, and I was like, I haven't heard Mabel snoring in an episode in a long time.
Well, you might hear in this one. But I did hear a Christmas question that was really interesting to hear people's answers on. Are you a red, white, and green Christmas person or a blue, white, and gold Christmas person?
Okay. Well, I switched up my decorations this year. Mm-hmm. And I was actually I become more of a, well, I like green, like greenery, you know?
Yes.
But then I think I'm more of a white, brown, and gold.
I like that.
Because I had a lot of like mousse and then white puffy things. And I like gold accents.
Mm-hmm.
That but a little bit of red and green. Yeah.
I'm definitely like, I feel like red and green Christmas is so cozy, and I love a cozy Christmas. So, but I can appreciate the blue, white, gold, brown.
Yeah. I actually added a little pink to Christmas this year too. So I really was doing some, I was feeling a little different this year.
Yes. Changing it up, taking some risks.
I was like, I got to get rid of these plastic red balls and this plastic green, you know, like.
Yeah, it's time for a change.
A little more cloth.
I agree. I like that.
Well, this was fun. And I'm so glad that we got to celebrate with you all this year. I was going to talk about our Spotify Wrapped this year, but who cares?
Who knows? Maybe we'll post it. And
randomly
page.
Our best listened to episode according to this was the Cube Rusty Lake series, which
interesting
is a little odd in my opinion, but I think it's cool. We gotta do more games next year. That's what that tells me.
I know. Well, I'm excited for more games. They were fun.
Yeah, we've got some on the list for what we want to work on next year, so
yes,
I'm excited.
Keep your ears open.
But Merry Christmas to everyone and happy holidays, you know, or just happy winter solstice if you don't even celebrate anything. I mean, the winter solstice is happening whether you celebrate it or not.
Exactly. And hopefully it's...
And that means the days are going to get longer from here on out. Yeah. And that's something to celebrate.
Oh, well, I like when it gets dark out cold, like at early.
Well, it's going to stay dark for a while, but the days will start to creep, you know, a little bit longer.
Gotcha. Well, I hope everyone has a great this time of year, depending on if you celebrate or not, and that you're hopefully, you know, at least surrounded by people that you love and love you back.
Yeah. And I hope you got some of that nice, fun anticipation for the new year of like, what I'm going to do this year.
Exactly. Make some
fun plans.
Yeah. Make some realistic plans and go easy on yourself. It's, you know, it's been a hard few years.
Yes. Don't send yourself into a emotional or psychological spiral.
Yes.
As I may or may not have been on this year.
Learned from this.
But I'm feeling good and I am ready to celebrate.
Yeah. So to that, cheers.
Cheers.
And, you know, we hope you guys have a great time. And thank you so much for the support. We really appreciate it.
Yes, we really do.
Yes. But until next episode, thank you for listening.
And to all, a good night.
Bye.